So, Pat, I'm pretty useless when it comes to getting things done. Not more figuratively than literally.
Yes.
The applications involved, like OmniFocus and things, etc. Of all of them, I prefer OmniFocus the most. The over-air sync is something that is a bone of contention for a lot of people. Now, being the productivity ninja that I refer to you as being so very often, what one do you use? What system do you use?
Well, everyone who knows me knows that I'm a big fan of pen and paper, and that's what I mainly mm-hmm. use. And that when I did have to, you know, switch to something a little bit more powerful, I generally switch to task paper. I really like task paper. There's lots of things I appreciate about it, and still very much do. But right now, I've got so many big, complicated projects going on. Some of them I'm not willing to speak about. Others, others I certainly can. I'm going to be doing a new round of T-shirt orders pretty soon. But I'm going to be doing things a little bit differently this time, offering a different color, and I also want to bump up the quality of the shirts a bit, and also offer a woman's cut option. But I can't, I haven't yet been able to find with the printer that I'm working with exactly the right shirt. And so, you know, that's a perfect example of, you know, kind of several steps that have to fall into place before, you know, before I can even start. And then once I start, there's several other steps that spurs off, right?
Mm-hmm.
With multiple, you know, dependencies and actions and things I'm waiting for. Like in this case, I'm waiting for my shirt vendor to send me another set of samples for me to take a look at, so I can find one that fits the, you know, that the men's fits a man the way that I think it should, and that my wife, the test subject, the woman's cut fits her the way that I think a woman's cut should, and that she doesn't have any complaints, right? And so that's a perfect example of, you know, a big project that, you know, takes a lot to hold on to. Now, I've got like a dozen of those sorts of big projects going on right now, and as wonderful as pen and paper is, and as wonderful as task paper is, I really needed something that was a lot more robust to handle that kind of size and complexity. And so I have a license for OmniFocus, and I had it on my iPhone, and so I decided to switch to OmniFocus at least until some of these larger projects are out of the way.
Do you just use OmniFocus on the iPhone?
Yeah, I haven't pulled the trigger on the iPad app yet, and I know that everyone says, you know, it's like, you know, it's like the second coming of Christ or something like that. In electronic form.
We're looking at you, Sean. I just want to very quickly say, as a side, Sean Blanc's post on OmniFocus, we'll have to put a link in the show notes. I think the post is called A Sledgehammer Called OmniFocus.
Yeah.
Is one of the most comprehensive reviews I've ever seen. It's absolutely incredible.
It's absolutely incredible. And I've used OmniFocus for a while. I actually was involved in the beta a long time ago, so
that got a beta yes, did it?
Did you?
No, that got a beta yes from your.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I got a beta yes. Yes, it did. You know, so I've been using it off and on for a while. And I want to take an aside here, and say something. I may have said this before, but for those who are new, haven't heard it. Whatever, here it is. There are those people that spend all of their time looking for the perfect productivity app and think that the app is going to be the solution to all of their problems.
Mm-hmm.
There are those people in the world of people who are actually doing stuff that can tell you that no, the app doesn't matter, that the doing is what matters, and whatever you need to get things done is, you know, No app will solve that. It's not like you can buy an app and magically solve your productivity problems. But certainly there has traditionally been some feedback against switching to apps all the time, looking for the perfect thing. And especially because of the cost of switching, i.e., you spend so much time moving stuff around that you're not actually getting things done. And while that's true for a lot of people, that's never been true for me. I can switch on a dime, and I can switch very easily, and I can generally do it within a half an hour, and be, assuming that I know the app I'm switching to, can be completely comfortable and pick up and keep going. And I know that that's unusual, and I don't recommend it for everybody. But for whatever reason, not only do I find switching to a new app comfortable, but even more than that, it's kind of like when I was a little kid and I get a brand new pair of running shoes, or as you call them, trainers. And I was absolutely convinced that because I had the new trainers, I could run faster and jump higher. And I spent the next 2 to 3 days running everywhere and jumping up and trying to touch things that I couldn't before. Actually, switching apps has that same effect for me today. I often find that I'm, at least in the short term, tremendously more productive after I switch to a new app than I was using whatever I was using before.
Because it's a new thing.
Just because it's new. Yeah, it's new. It's fun. It's like, oh, this is. I want to use this. I want to see. I want to check this off the list. I want to see how much better this is.
And I have the most ultimate system ever created. Now I am. I am super productivity man.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and it's not just apps, right? I know that when OmniFocus starts to feel too big for my needs in the future, which I'm sure it will once several of these projects launch and kind of go off into the wayside of being done, I'll make the switch back to paper because I always do. And I know that for the first few days with the paper, I'll be like, oh, yeah, this is great. Oh, I miss this. I miss checking things off and scratching things through and drawing lines through things and doodling in the margins. But... I have just the Mac version and the iPhone version but the iPad version, the more I see about it, the harder and harder it is to resist. Because it really does, you hear anyone talking about it, it seems like it takes upon the desktop takes the desktop version's greatest features and makes them even better and adds others that are even more useful. And the word on the street is that the next version of the desktop version will actually be modeled more on the iOS version, as is the case with a lot of the stuff that Apple is doing with 10.7, yeah. Which is a discussion back for another show. Yeah. Mm. So, so far it's going very well. Unfortunately, I'm looking at my do list for the day and realizing that I'm gonna have to do a review here because there's no way I'll be able to get all of this done in the time allowed. But the fact is that I'm finding it tremendously easy to capture things and feeling tremendously comfortable with the idea that, it's captured and it's properly categorized and contexted and that I don't have to worry about it. And if it doesn't get done, I didn't have the time, the energy, or the context, or the right, the right situation to set it up to get these things done. And so, hey, no big deal. At least I'm not holding them in my brain.
When it comes to these sort of app/Mac setups, is there a reason that you choose OmniFocus?
I'll tell you, the over-the-air sync really, that was a big deal. It's not readily apparent because it's still beta, but OmniFocus, or the Omni Group, has their own OmniFocus sync server. So although you can do Wi-Fi sync, which is really just as good as not having over the ear sync.
I use Mobile Me.
Yeah, or you can use Mobile Me. You know, I think that there's a couple of other options. But actually the best option is their own sync server. It's fast and it just plain works. And further word on the street is that sync server is handling all of those transactions from the, you know, I'm sure thousands of people who must be using it. That's actually being done on a Mac Mini, I've heard.
That doesn't surprise me. That makes sense to me. That seems to be it. I keep hearing a lot of these sort of stories.
Yeah, yeah. The Mac Mini is highly, highly underrated as a server machine. And
well, Apple clearly think it. You know, they clearly think so. They offer the Mac Mini server, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I've heard word that to a number of their enterprise level customers that are kvetching about the XServe being discontinued are being introduced, you know, by Apple to the Mac Mini, and basically Apple saying you can take two of these things, set them up in the same 1U rack space, have all the redundancy of an XServe, and better power consumption, which is huge. If you're running a data center, power consumption makes it's a huge selling point, right? You know, they run cooler and they run cleaner, and they are, you know, just as powerful theoretically, depending upon the applications that you're using them for, especially if, you know, your plan is to, you know, have your storage on a RAID or whatnot anyway, which is the case generally. So
I like that you say introduced. I mean, to me, it's probably just like, shut up and take it. We don't make the XServe anymore. Shut up. It's a Mac Mini, now go away.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's. But you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many, CTOs are, you know, walking out of such a meeting, you know, shaking their head saying, oh, it'll never work. And, you know, but Apple will send them a couple and say, just set these up in a 1U rack and see what they can do. And, you know, they'll come back to the table and say, great, we'll take 7,000 of them, you know. You know, I think it's, I don't know, it's just interesting. Wow, this is a whole side discussion about that we never expected to go down off of OmniFocus. But, I could have chosen anything, but that's the reason I chose OmniFocus, is simply because, as Sean Blanc, intimated in the very title of his post, there are definitely times when you don't need a sledgehammer. You don't need a sledgehammer for a penny nail problem. And if you're, you know, if your tasks and your lists are, you know, penny nail sort of problems, you don't need this sledgehammer called OmniFocus. It just so happened that my penny nails suddenly became sledgehammers, or suddenly became, you know, railroad ties, in which case, you know, I needed a sledgehammer solution for a sledgehammer problem. And that's mainly why I chose it, because it is a amazingly powerful, deep program with a lot of capability. And just opening, and though it can do simple, if you let it do simple, it, you have to set it up to do simple. It does complex out of the box. It's designed to do complex.
Yeah.
And so, if you have complex needs, it's really a great tool. Not to say that there aren't other ones out there that are equally as good. But
I would say for anybody looking to start out with OmniFocus, Don McAllister of Screencast Online did some free screencasts for the OmniFocus guys. They used to be on the website. They probably still are on the OmniFocus page. And he really goes into some great detail. Yeah, they've got a video tutorials page on the OmniFocus site, and they've got basics and advanced. And Don's the master at this stuff, and he really did some great work for them. And I learned a lot about getting things done and how to use the Mac application watching his videos. So I would seriously suggest it. He also goes into the iPhone version as well.
Yeah, same here. I highly recommend those. I, having been familiar with OmniFocus, when I switched, and in order to get reacquainted with it, I watched those videos. The beginner one, if you're not familiar at all with OmniFocus or getting things done as a system, is, I think, essential. Otherwise, you're going to have a really difficult time wrapping your head around the power of the application. The advanced one, I learned a ton of stuff that I didn't know. And this is having, you know, been used the app off and on now for years. Finally, Merlin Mann recently at this past Macworld presented on the power of using perspectives, which is a thing in OmniFocus. Even advanced OmniFocus users weren't really sure, you know, how to use and didn't use. He did a presentation in such a way that showed how powerful they could be. And that presentation involves not only the desktop app, but also the iPad app. And it's really that presentation that finally has me going, okay, I think I really have to drop the money on the iPad app, because there's some features there that just look screamingly like, okay, wow, this would be a big boon to, you know, to my getting through all of the stuff that I have to get through. On the other hand, I kind of come back to the idea that, well, or I could just sit my butt in the chair and get shit done, right? Yeah. I do urge everyone to watch that perspectives video, because you can do all sorts of crazy things I didn't realize. You could set up perspectives to remember, like, exactly how you wanted a window for a certain perspective. So, like, I've got a perspective that is I've set it up for Control Option T, where it shows me only the things that are due today, and collapses the sidebar and the toolbar, so that I get just a blank white page with the tasks at hand, with a key combination, and that's no other visual stuff. And no other visual clutter.
That's minimal Mac right there, my
friend. That is minimal Mac, and you know, with another simple key command, I can go to just the inbox and have just the inbox on the items in the inbox on a blank white page, so I can go through and I can process those items and just focus in right on those items with no other visual clutter. And then I can, you know, switch back to, to the regular perspectives, and boom, I have it all back. I have my toolbar back. I've got my, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's things like that, little tips and tricks that you can learn from those videos that are so valuable for being able to wrap your head around and hands around this app. So,
yeah, I think we've given people some good tools, but you can just remember, you know, we come back to this idea quite a lot. It's what best suits you at the time, and just generally in how you work,
and also never being afraid to ask the question. Never think that any decision you make is necessarily final. As much as I like to talk about, you know, final choices, there's all sorts of situations that may come along that may require you to revisit a choice that you think that you've already made, and to question it, and not to be afraid to do that just because you've invested so much time, or you've invested so much energy, or gosh, it would take too much to switch or too much to solve. Because if that's what's keeping you from, you know, from getting ahead and doing your best work, there's no amount of value you can place on that kind of investment.
Agreed.
So, but you know, we can talk about other things later. I think we've covered my love for and switch to OmniFocus for now. I'll be switching back one day. Back to pen and paper. But they're very nice pens and paper. Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Bye.